Welcome to the latest edition of the Sharon and Glenn Show, also known as the Dr. Glenn and Sharon Show, depending upon who's listening and who's talking at the moment. We are here tonight to tell you some interesting information with regard to questions that people frequently ask Glenn. Glenn, what's one of the critical questions?
There's a couple of questions people ask me all the time. One of them is, hey Glenn, you're known for going into market after market with this comprehensive, systematic way of evaluating a market and figuring out where the buying heat is and where the buying heat isn't and minimizing risk. What if I've already got an existing business? And how can your system work for me?
That's a great question.
It is. And the answer is actually that it's more powerful for an existing business.
Really?
Well, there's several different aspects of the system. One aspect is the risk minimization part, where you're setting up your different channels of keywords or lists or direct mail or radio or something like that and figuring out where the greatest opportunity is to get the most effective return on investment for your traffic dollars. But that's only one part, and that's the part that helps you to establish a profitable traffic stream. And that's really where the greatest level of risk lies, I think, in starting a business, is figuring out where you're going to buy the traffic and can you really afford it.
Right.
If you've already got an existing business, especially if you've got a house list, and you've got an email list or a mailing list, well, what happens then is all of your costs of doing the research basically disappear. So you're no longer worried about establishing a profitable traffic stream. Now you're looking at what can I do to multiply the traffic stream and the elements of the product which help you to clearly identify the concerns and the best way to segment your market so that you're getting the right message to the right customers and the right prospects. Those all come right to the foreground and you can concentrate on them and you can usually get a much larger sample for a lot less money. The issues of the time to collect the research are no longer quite the same. The issues of how much money it costs are no longer the same. And basically what you're doing is you're adding intelligence to an already profitable system, and it's hard to imagine that you can do anything but profit with it.
What if you don't have a list?
If you do have a business and you don't have a list?
Yeah.
Okay, so let's say you're buying regular traffic and you've got a passing parade of people and it's working out profitably for you. In that case, what you want to do is just divert a small fraction of the traffic over to a survey. And so sometimes there's a minor cost of doing that in that the traffic that takes the survey is not necessarily going to buy. But in some cases, you can divert them to the survey and you can use as an incentive some discount on what it is that you're selling. And that's perfectly legitimate to do because the people that would want that would be people that are viable customers for you anyway. And sometimes what can happen is you divert a portion of the traffic and they take the survey in exchange for that discount and you actually make more money by doing the survey right away.
A number of people who have bought the package and have W business have had existing businesses, it seems to me, and you've been talking with some of them. Could you give any examples, without naming names, but any examples of some things that have helped?
I'm actually now helping Perry Marshall with a survey for his existing business.
Well, there's an existing business for sure.
There's a good one, sure. I'm working with a guy who teaches web design.
Mm-hmm.
We are surveying his list to figure out the best way to provide and has value to them.
Mm-hmm.
There's a gentleman who's got a Dish Network satellite TV service, and it's got 30 people working for him. It's been running for years, and he buys a fortune worth of Google traffic every day, and been helping him to improve his profitability and conversion and figure out what other offers they should be providing. One of the most important things to consider in an existing business is who are your most hyper-responsive customers and what do they want? Because while most people are always thinking about how can they spend less money on their prospects and customers, what you really want to do is figure out who are the customers that will pay off if you spend more on them. Where do you want to put your efforts into calling, into sending gifts, into sending mail and providing them with extra discounts? And where is that time, effort, and money going to be wasted? If you don't have an existing business and you survey your list, the way that you figure out who's hyper-responsive and who's not is simply by the quality of the survey information that they give you, the length of the question and the quality of the question and the level of passion they give you, and how difficult they say the information is to find, and a number of other real estimation metrics. But when you have an existing business, you could survey your list and you can tie everything back to who's bought and who hasn't and how much they've bought. So what that empowers you to do is say, well, look, my heavy users, the people that have spent the most money with me, this is what's on their mind, and this is how I can serve them. And the people that have just kind of been hanging out in the fringes and aren't quite ready to buy, well, this is what might push them over the fence. So you really get to segment your list not only by concerns or keywords or channels, but you can segment your list by actual market behavior, which is much more valid and much more powerful. So marketing research with an existing business is one of the most powerful things you can do. And if you think about it, how did we make our living for so many years? Right? We served the largest existing businesses in the world.
Exactly.
An incremental insight, if you're making $20 million a year net or something, a 1% increase due to even one comment you notice in a survey that somebody hadn't noticed before that gives you a new product line or something like that, that can be a fortune.
Right.
And even on a, you know, $50,000 a year business, once you're already in the black, the cost-benefit ratio of intelligence is just ridiculous. That's why you'll see that the people that are most successful online, offline, the most successful entrepreneurs really don't hesitate. Once they see that there's something that they need to learn, they just don't hesitate to pay for education, and that's why I spend like $50,000 a year on books and tapes and courses.
To make things a little better.
Yeah.
It becomes incremental and it really builds. You know, you want to hear a funny thing based on what you were saying before?
I always want to hear a funny thing.
You were saying about heavy users. Well, as you know, I work for a lot of people in the snack industry, and they had banned the words heavy users from their vocabulary.
No.
They have to say high volume users.
That's funny.
Because there's a bad stigma.
It's not politically correct.
Right, because right. That means they're fat.
You can't say fat users.
Right.
That's sad.
And just because they're a heavy user doesn't mean that they're fat, but There is that implication. So what's another question that you've been getting a lot of?
Another question is this more of an academic system, or is it really a step-by-step process? And
what does that mean, academic versus step-by-step?
Well, I'm a good talker. I've had a lot of education, and I'm very passionate about what I do. And a lot of people have encountered people like me who they get very excited about as kind of intellectual entertainment. $1,000 for intellectual entertainment is really rather expensive. Now, part of that is just because people would prefer to dream and not to do. And I always tell people, don't buy my system if you don't want to actually do it. But what we actually did in the seminar was walk through a market from the point where we knew nothing about it until the point where we were ready to launch. And we went step by step by step, and we had a set of flow charts and easy-to-follow guides for what you do with this step and what you do with that step.
And everyone loved it.
And everybody
at all levels of different intellectual progress in school and stuff like that. We had people who were high school graduates, and we had people who were
So I think that some people are just frightened that this is like more fuel for the dream as opposed to real tools to move forward. No, I wouldn't 100% promise that every little bit of it is going to be immediately understandable. And particularly during the first day, there were some points when people told me I gave them so much information that it was hard for them to absorb. But what you'll see is that I was very, very attentive to everybody's questions, and we reworked everything anybody was confused about.
And if you listen to anyone who came to the session afterwards, they all felt that they had meaningful, easy-to-use things. They had incorporated and they figured it out.
Yeah. And the other thing about that is, after the seminar, I watched it several times, you know, when I had plenty of time to step back and think. I created a set of DVDs that clarified any remaining questions. And then we had a series of follow-up calls once a month, which are also something you can download once you get the package. And in the follow-up calls, as people were actually doing it themselves, I answered all their questions and made it possible for them to implement it. You know, then, of course, there's an outsourcing guide for every piece on the puzzle, so that once you go through it one time, you really don't have to do it yourself again.
I'm wondering if there's anything else you'd like to tell people.
Well, there's a bunch of things. There's a bunch of other questions that people have been asking.
Oh, cool.
A lot of people say, well, if I spend $1,000 on your course, then I have to go out and buy all this special software, and you're going to charge me a monthly fee for the software and all that kind of thing. The answer to that is there's really no special software required. You can use any survey service or script that you want to. There's no monthly fee. I have not developed my own software. There's nothing you have to pay me for if you buy the product. As a matter of fact, I've had some people who have done this process without actually even having a website. So the survey script that I use, which is like $40 from willmaster.com, is called Master Survey. And I like that because it just gives you some code you can copy and paste onto a website. And I like to be able to have full control over what the website looks like. But a lot of people just use insightful surveys or SurveyMonkey, or even the Ask database to complete the surveys.
That's worked out really well for them.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm, good. What's another question?
I suppose the other question is, will this really work for me? I market off the internet, or do you think it will work in real estate? Do you think it would work in mortgages? Do you think it would work in left-handed guinea pigs from Guam? And my answer to that is, this is a marketing intelligence system. This isn't a technique per se. There are some techniques associated with it, but this is a system of principles that you use to gather market intelligence at any market through any media. So I actually developed most of the principles before the internet really existed, or before anybody was actually using it, when I was a corporate consultant for large companies who were marketing offline. You know, American Express was doing direct mail, and Lipton was advertising on television or in print magazines. The whole idea of the system is to split out the different sources of prospects you might have who might be different from one another. If you advertise in one magazine, it's probably going to attract different people than another magazine. If you advertise in one radio show, it's probably going to be different than another radio show, which is going to be different from your magazines, which is going to be different than your print lists. And to figure out how much buying heat was associated with each of those channels and what specifically they wanted and how to group them. The reason that I evolved towards the internet is because the internet is so much faster and more trackable and easier to make changes with, so it was much more facile. I didn't have to wait a month to get results back.
Mm-hmm.
I tend to like to develop a market first and foremost on the internet, but the internet is more like a multiplier of the principles that are available.
And it's an incredible test ground, isn't it?
And it's an incredible test ground. These are common things that everybody really knows about the internet. It's not something unique that I've contributed. But what I want to get across is that whatever you're going to do, whatever you do, online or offline, you need to have a strategic understanding of your market. You need to know who your prospects are, what concerns are on their mind, what are their priorities in terms of features and functions they're looking for, what are their emotional priorities and human needs that your product can serve, and how do you group everybody most effectively based upon those needs and concerns. And that's like a strategic bullseye. In the absence of that strategic bullseye, you're just playing blind archery. You're just shooting arrows in the air.
Right.
Even if you're opening up a lemonade stand in a particular street corner and, you know, you're doing this with your six-year-old kid, there are principles that you can learn about how to ask questions and do a survey of the people that are passing by that street corner so you can open up the best lemonade stand if you want to.
Makes total sense. That's great. I think it's wonderful that you can address these things that people bring up to you consistently. I think it's so fascinating that the same questions are repeatedly brought up to you.
Well, that'll happen in any market. Even after you've totally completed a study, there's always a subtle difference between when you are actually researching a market and then when you're actually marketing in the market, because there's a different level of commitment that people give you in surveys versus actually purchasing, and a slightly different level of expectations and satisfaction and what it takes to satisfy them. There's always a set of questions that comes up.
I don't know what's most exciting to you about the feedback that you get, but what's been exciting to me is every now and then you'll say, oh, by the way, so-and-so called, and they only did a few of the things I suggested, and they already tripled. That, to me, is the proof of the pudding, and it just tickles me when you say that. I love it.
When you see the seminar, you're going to see what I do. And what I do is implement probably about 20 principles, which I've arrived at over 20 years of being in marketing research, and a lot of painful experimentation after our big crash of 2001 and all the money we lost and having to work things out in a way that I was sure was not going to risk money. And so I've done a lot of convincing myself that these principles are most effective when you apply them all together. But if you take really any one of them and apply them to your business, you're going to get added value. For example, I generally like to have people do 800 to 1,000 surveys. If you ask me, I want to respond to someone in your survey, I'm going to say 800 to 1,000.
You want an ample sample.
I want an ample sample. But some people don't have the patience to do that. Some people don't have the money to do that. Some people don't have the time to do that. And so there are people that will do 100 surveys.
Really?
Yeah. And see, it's not a black and white thing. It's not like an 800-person survey is good and a 799-person survey is bad. It's a question of the power of the microscope that you're using and how finely you can break things up into groups. Since I like to break things up into groups and subgroups and still have the law of large numbers working for me, I like to have much larger samples. But the truth is, even if you weren't going to do any of the mathematical work that I do at all, even if you were just to survey 50 people in your market, ask them their most important question and how hard it was to find, and then you dumped it all in a spreadsheet and you sorted everything by how difficult it was for them to find, you would be much better off than if you hadn't surveyed the market at all.
Very cool.
Thanks very much for your time and attention. If you'd like to find out more about the comprehensive marketing research system I've used to succeed in market after market, please visit howtodoubleyourbusiness.com. That's howtodoubleyourbusiness.com.